Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today's interview is with Imran Razul from University College London. Imran and I met at the European Economic Association's annual meetings in Glasgow in August 2010, where we spoke about his research with Jerome Adder and Brendan McConnell on the impact of decriminalising cannabis on crime.
What we're looking at is trying to measure the impact of the decriminalisation of cannabis on crime. And the particular episode that we study is when the police in one London borough, the borough of Lambeth, unilaterally decided to change their policing strategy towards cannabis crime and de facto not prosecute individuals caught in possession of small quantities that they could argue were for their own personal consumption. So no change in how they regulated things on the supply side, but on the demand side, the police decided to relax the effort they were devoting towards that. And the motivation was that they would then be able to reallocate their effort towards other types of crime, potentially more serious types of drug crime, other types of crime more broadly. So we've built a data set looking at crime rates for drugs, crime and six other different types of crime by London Borough between the mid-1990s to pretty much today. So it's spanning the 30, 31 boroughs of London, eight different crime types, looking at both rates of criminal offence, criminal arrests and clear-up rates. So those last two measures focus more directly on conditional an offence being committed. Are the police actually doing something effective? And so what we tend to find is that when decriminalisation was introduced, the policy in Lambeth was introduced for a year, and then after 12 or 13 months actually reverted back to something close to what it was. That's interesting in and of itself. What we find is that the policy doesn't have an immediate impact on drugs-related crime, but 6 months into the policy, there's a huge increase in drugs-related crime. I think the order of magnitude is about 20-25%, depending on exactly how you want to measure it. And that effect is large relative to what was occurring before and long-lasting. It doesn't seem to die out over time. That's a bit of a puzzle, because you might think that if the police have now changed their policy to no longer record as an offence something that was previously an offence, the possession of small quantities of cannabis, the first order effect would just be a purely mechanical one, a statistical one, that there should be a reduction in drugs recorded crime. We find the opposite. And so in the paper we try to sort of unpack that effect a little bit more to see whether that's driven by an increase in the size of the drugs market in general, and whether we can say what would have to be true in terms of the underlying drugs market to explain this increase in drug-related offences. So in order to do that, we have various sets of thought experiments that we run through. And so the first is, supposing that you thought the policy was already in place, that this is essentially what the police were already doing, and all they were doing was just making this official to protect themselves against sanctions from the public. And so all of the increase would effectively be driven by increases in consumption or the demand for other types of drugs, not cannabis. If that were the case, then the increase in other types of drug that we'd have to observe would be about a 100% increase in the size of non-cannabis-related drugs market. So by that estimate, it's a huge effect, holding constant the effects on cannabis. And then there's a few other thought experiments that we run through. But in all of those, we can reject the fact that there was no change in the market for drugs in Lambeth as a result of the policy experiment. So that seems to be potentially a cost of the police refocusing their attention onto other things, that the amount of drugs consumption seems to increase dramatically, and that's not an effect that's reversed even when the policy's reversed. There seems to be long-run changes in the underlying structure of drugs markets across London boroughs as a result of the policy. So given the underlying motivation that the police laid out for why they introduced the policy, we then look at what are the effects of the policy on other types of crime. And there we find broad reductions in other types of crime. In fact, total crime, excluding drug-related crime, falls by about 6% in the long run in Lambeth relative to other London boroughs. This is at a time when, you know, drugs crime is generally, and crime in London is generally rising. So this is quite a big effect. And you find, you know, different effects on different types of crime. So that's a potential benefit of the policy. So then to look more closely at what the police are actually doing, we look at what happens to the number of arrests and what happens to clear-up rates as a result of the policy. So remember, for drugs crime, we find a big increase in drug offences. Exactly at the same time, we find a big collapse in the number of individuals who are arrested for drugs-related crime, and a big collapse in ultimately in clear-up rates for drug-related crime. So those three bits of evidence really seem to suggest that when the policy is introduced, the police essentially reallocate their resources away from drugs-related crime and potentially focus on other types of crime. On those other types of crime, as I mentioned, offences fall, but in addition, arrests for those other types of crime significantly rise. So the police, on some measures, do seem to do better and have an effective reallocation of their effort away from drugs-related crime towards other types of crime. That causes a reduction of about 6% in total crime, excluding drugs. So then the final part of the paper says, well, we've got an increase in drugs crime, a decrease in other types of crime. Is there a way that we can see how people value these net effects? So we look at what happens to house prices. House prices are nice because you can measure those within a borough. You can really do those at the postcode level. So look at whether there are differential effects on house prices by type of house or by neighbourhood within Lambeth. Places where the drugs market might be particularly active might be differentially affected than other parts within Lambeth where the drugs market doesn't have such an effect. And so in the long run, we find a reduction in house prices in Lambeth, holding everything else equal, as a result of the policy. So despite there being overall reductions in crime, people seem to put disproportionate weight on the increase in drugs-related crime that more than offsets any weight they associate with falls in other types of crime. And that presumably is because when you have an expansion of the drugs market, people care about drugs crime, but also other things related to the drugs market that also occur, other forms of antisocial behaviour that might be going on. And this effect seems to be larger in parts of Lambeth where the drugs market is larger to begin with. So places close to Brixton Tube Station, for example. So what we're trying to do in future work is to unpack what these other types of activities may be that are associated with the drugs market, such as road accidents, the consumption of alcohol and potentially other complementary products to drugs, and so on and so forth. So that's one direction for future work that we're looking to go in. Another set of results that we have, which are sort of spinning off in another direction, are to try and understand the effects of this policy on the restructuring in the drugs market in London as a whole. So one check that we do is using a method called synthetic control methods, which is essentially to try and ask, is there any other borough in London that seems to have a similar spike in drugs crime when the policy in Lambeth is introduced? That the answer is no, with the exception of one other borough. One other borough, at the time when Lambeth decriminalises, has a similar increase in drug-related offences. That other borough turns out to be Haringey. It wasn't clear to us why this should be. Perhaps it's just a statistical chance that this would occur. We have 30 boroughs. Inevitably, you might expect a similar increase in crime to be observed in one of them. However, Lambeth and Haringey are orders of magnitude larger, the effects there, than in any other borough, making us suspect that this needs to be looked at a little bit further. So our second reaction was, well, perhaps the police in Haringey are doing the same as in Lambeth, except they're not announcing it. They're letting all the media attention focus on Lambeth, but they're essentially doing the same thing. If that's the case, then the police in Haringey should also be observing a reduction in other types of crime in Haringey and all the other effects that we found in Lambeth. That turns out not to be the case. In Haringey, although drugs crime rises, every other type of crime also rises. Police arrests don't change, clear-up rates don't change. So it seems as if in Haringey it may be, and this is speculation, which is why it's not in the first part of analysis, there may be some interlinkage between the drugs markets in Lambeth and that in Haringey, where we might think of Haringey as being an important port of entry of drugs into London as a whole. There are a number of connections that we want to pursue. One is the obvious connection between the tube lines between Haringey and Lambeth. The second is Haringey is well known to be a port of entry of hard drugs, Class A drugs, into London as a whole. I live quite close to Haringey, so just by chance I read a story in my local paper which highlighted the fact that I think 6 months ago was the first time that armed police were permanently deployed onto the streets of some parts of London. The two locations in which they'd been deployed were Brixton, centre of Lambeth, and Haringey, in response to an increase in gun-related crime. So I'm sure these are underlying networks that the police are aware of. We're just trying to now sort of probe the data that we have in that direction to try to better understand how the industrial organisation of the market for drugs as a whole changes when one location in particular decides to decriminalise.
What lessons do you think you could take generally from this research for the policy of decriminalisation of cannabis? I mean, it strikes me that it's one borough where there evidently are serious spillovers to other parts of London, and you might have a policy that
decriminalise cannabis within London, or you might have a policy that decriminalise in the UK, which might have very different effects.
Sure. So in the paper, we're able to compare the effects of this localised decriminalisation in Lambeth vis-à-vis the nationwide reclassification of cannabis from Class B to Class C in the UK that occurred between 2004-2009. So in de facto terms, in terms of how the police were policing cannabis-related crime on the demand side, the two policies were implemented in a very similar way. At a nationwide level, you can shut down some of the channels that we find in the Lambeth study, such as drugs tourism, and then just look at whether the police are better able to reallocate their effort towards other types of crime. The effects are much more imprecise, but generally we find that when there's a reclassification of cannabis from B to C in the UK as a whole, drugs-related crime doesn't rise to anywhere near the extent that it did when Lambeth unilaterally had the same policy. But at the same time, the police are able to reallocate their efforts towards other types of crime to some extent. So we think that the paper has some implications for thinking about whether drugs policy should be coordinated between jurisdictions or not. Certainly, if you want to decriminalise, you shouldn't be the only place that does it. There seem to be these very large spillover effects, and the effects seem to persist in the long run.
Both the Lambeth policy and the national policy were reversed. Was that because of a feeling that it had a damaging impact in the short term and they couldn't almost invest the political capital in keeping it going for longer?
There's no one explanation you can find on either dimension that says this is the key reason why the policy was stopped. There seems to be a build-up of gradual concern related to both policies, and ultimately political decisions were made to reverse both policies. If we focus in on the Lambeth experiment in particular, that was initially announced to be a trial that would run for 6 months. What we find is the increase in drugs crime that I've been documented didn't occur in those first 6 months. Okay, it occurs at the end of this six-month period. So what happens at the end of the six-month trial period? Well, that's when the policy is deemed to have been a success by Brian Paddock, who was actually the commander of police in Lambeth and decided to experiment with this policy. He actually instigated Murray, I think, to conduct an opinion poll of local residents during this first six-month window. Well, individuals were asked about whether they thought the policy had been a success or whether they're aware of the policy, what do they think about this general change in policing strategy. On the whole, people were deemed to be cautious but relatively supportive of the policy if it allowed the police to reallocate their effort towards other types of crime. In the data, we observed no change in drugs crime in that first six-month window. At the end of that six-month window, when the policy is announced to be more permanent, that's when we observe a spike in drugs crime that seems to occur. So there is some signal that's sent either to consumers, to suppliers, or to both, that now there's going to be, because there's going to be a permanent change, that leads to changes in the underlying structure of the market. As soon as the policy goes permanent and you observe this spike in drugs crime, that's when negative stories start to build up about the effects of the policy. There are reports that children are showing up into school, showing the after effects of having consumed cannabis and so on and so forth. That feeds into political pressure, and eventually the policy is reversed 7 months after it was announced to be permanent. What's interesting is that when head teachers were asked about this, most of them said they didn't see any effects. But these are very small samples. You only have a small number of schools in Lambeth. But we're going to try to look at the educational outcomes of children who live in Lambeth, close to Lambeth at the time of the policy as well, in future research. But the police themselves were very much against a reversal of the policy. They felt as if they were more efficiently allocating their resources with the policy, which was part of the initial aim. And we exactly picked that up in these different trends in different types of crime. In terms of a broader policy implication, though, if you think about how do people value this policy in terms of house prices, summing together all of the effects on different types of crime, it seems that people don't want to live in neighbourhoods in which they're the only one that decriminalises. Does that also reflect nationwide? That's very hard to say.
Emmanuel Resort, thank you very much.
Thank you.